Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for holding. Welcome to the Taiwan Mobile First Quarter 2006 Quarter Results Conference Call. At this time, all participants are in the listen-only mode. Following the presentation, we will conduct a question-and-answer section. Instructions will be provided at that time for you to queue up for questions. If any participant requires assistance at any time, please press the star followed by zero on your telephone for operator assistance. I will now turn the conference over to Mr. Harvey Chang. Thank you. Please go ahead.
Hi, everyone. Thank you for attending our first quarter conference call. Today, I think we basically going to do the same thing. We're going to give you a short presentation, and then we'll open up for a question. And the presentation will consist of two parts. The first part, I think, will be delivered by Rosie Yu, our Vice President of Finance, and then she will turn over the mic to me, and I will make some comments, and then we'll open for questions. So with this as a background, I will turn over the mic to Rosie.
Good afternoon. This is Rosie Yu. I'm pleased to present to you the first quarter update on our financials. Taiwan Mobile posted a 2% growth in telecom service revenue in the first quarter, outpacing Far EasTone four quarters in a row since the second quarter of last year. And our market share was safely maintained, with ARPU growing 12% year on year, which was the highest among the big three. The successful launch of our new rate plan, My Zone, has helped register growth in revenue. Our costs and expenses were also well contained. Despite an increase in base stations along with the 3G rollout and an increase in 3G depreciation expenses, our continuous efforts towards network integration and asset write-down helped maintain these expenses at a comparable level as the last quarter of last year. But our EBITDA was affected by a 21% increase in marketing expense, which was reflective of our more than 40% growth in postpaid gross ads. On the non-operating front, we disposed of 50 million shares of Chunghwa Telecom, reaping a gain of 626 million. At the same time, we wrote down 1.54 billion 2G assets, which was 220 million less than the original plan. So our pre-tax income and net income were affected in the first quarter, translating into an EPS of 63 cents and EBITDA margin of 44.4%. Comparing with our forecast, our revenue was quite in line, but our operating income was a bit behind due to higher than expected marketing expense. Our pre-tax income and net income, however, outperformed our original forecast by more than 25% due to the 220 million less in asset write-down and the disposal gain for 626 million. But the 21% increase in marketing expense weighed on our EBITDA margin slightly. So our EBITDA margin is slightly behind. On the balance sheet, our current ratio improved a lot in the first quarter from 1.95 to 2.54 due to our very strong cash position and deleveraging. We repaid 1.5 billion of corporate bonds in the first quarter and bought back 1 billion of convertible bonds, which helped reduce our short-term debt greatly, and we turned net cash in the first quarter. On the cash flows, we have reclassified our cash flows for the first quarter of last year to include the 3.5 billion bond fund redemption in the operating cash flow per the newly enforced SFAS number 34, which requires that the cash flows from investment and divestment be classified as operating cash flow. On the investing cash flow, our proceeds from the disposal of Chunghwa Telecom shares were more than enough to cover our CapEx of $1.43 billion. The repayment of corporate bond for $1.5 billion and the buyback of convertible bond for $1 billion negatively affected our cash flow on the financing front. But overall speaking, our free cash flow was maintained high at $6.69 billion. So I've completed the financial update of the first quarter, and let me turn this over to Harvey for business updates and the second quarter guidance.
Thank you, Rosie. Let's take a look at the business aspect of our operations. Our total subscriber base remained unchanged from last quarter, and our first quarter churn rate was maintained also as the historically low level at 2.3%, which is actually the lowest level in the past 8 quarters. And as to our blended ARPU in the first quarter, it's 793, actually India reflects a very high, actually the highest year-over-year increase among all operators in the market. And then on new acquisitions, our successful open channel strategy, as well as the introduction of our new rate plan by Zoom, have contributed an over 40% year-over-year increase in terms of new subscriber adds that each quarter. So that is also a record-breaking achievement. And as to the churn rate, we have talked about that our overall churn rate was maintained at 2.3%, which is historically a low level, and if you're only looking at post-pay churn rate, actually this is even lower. Our post-pay churn rate is actually now down to 2% starting last quarter, and this quarter is still maintained at around 2%. And so we are able to achieve a low churn rate without further increase our total subscriber retention spending in the first quarter. As to the network situation, that at the end of the first quarter, we have roughly 310,000 3G SIM card users. The 3G users, actually, they in average that they do contribute a higher the data penetration and more higher data usages. Right now, that we expect to spend roughly $4.5 billion on the CapEx for 3G, which including a trial system for the HSDPA, and our total 3G cumulative spending will be around $11 billion. And by the end of the year, we're going to have 3,200 base stations focusing primarily in the metropolitan areas with population coverage of 80%. We have seen some indications on the customer behavior. And for those 3G subscribers, many of them, I think on average basis, they have three times data penetration data rate than the 2G. And for 3G handset users, they usually generate a double data ARPU than the 2G users. Next page, we're talking about the number portability. The nano portability actually has been in place since October, so it's now more than 6 months now. At the end of March, the total successful case, excluding internal number portability, means the MP within the same business group, they represent less than 1% of total mobile users in Taiwan. So up till now, the MMP still hasn't caused much of an impact. Now, look out to second quarter. Here is our second quarter guidance. We expect during second quarter, the telecom service revenue will grow roughly 4% sequentially, which translates to a fairly stable 1% year-over-year growth. In anticipation of a modest reduction of marketing expenses and the expected sequential decline in depreciation and amortization expenses, we expect our EBITDA and the operating income to increase by 4% quarter-over-quarter and 8% quarter-over-quarter, respectively. On the non-operating income, that non-operating income is expected to increase from the previous quarter because for second quarter, we expect to write down only 170 million assets versus the amount of 1.5 billion in the first quarter. And separately, we will also dispose our stake in one of our affiliates, the Holdwing Technology. So when the transaction is consummated, that we will book 526 million profits from the Holdwing transaction, pursuant to the accounting rule SFAS number 5. And these 526 million previously under number 5 was classified as deferred investment income. And now when the stake is disposed, that we can actually realize them. And as to our net income for second quarter, they are expected to reach 4.48 billion with an earning per share of 91 cents. And we expect earning per share for the first half of the year will reach roughly $1.54. Finally, now let me make a couple of conclusive remarks. Now, one is that an update on some of our investment vehicles. And as you know, that we not only operate Taiwan Mobile, we also operate two regional operators. One of them is MobiTime. And on January 6th this year, that we have now bought that all the other rest of all the minority shares from the rest of the minority shareholders and on April 5th and so which is an increase on, from 94% to 100%. And for TT&T, which is our phone center and was roughly 96% owned by us, and we also bought out the minority shareholders and to make them wholly owned subsidiary of ours from beginning of this month, April 5th. And then some of our investment subsidiaries, they will repatriate some of their capital, and they will send back roughly a total of 2.6 billion cash to TWA. And we are going to hold our annual shareholder meeting. That now the date it will be on June 15th this year. And today this morning that we had a board meeting, and during the board meeting, the board has approved a motion that authorizing the management to buy back 60 million shares or no more than NT$2 billion worth of shares that are from the market. The price range will be, this price range is basically calculated according to standard formula ranging from 25.48 to 37.17 per share. Buyback period will be for 2 months. And this buyback is primarily for the purpose of maintaining the stability of the workforce. And so the shares buyback that will be held and later on redistributed back to the employees in the next 2-3 years. That's the remark that I have. I'm going to open the floor for questions and answers.
Hello, we can start our Q&A session.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. If you would like to ask a question, please press the star followed by 1 on your touchtone phone. If you wish to cancel this request, please press the star followed by 2. Your questions will be answered in the order they are received. If you are using speaker equipment, please lift the handset before asking your question. One moment for the first question. Thank you. Our first question comes from Mr. Matthew Adams. Please state your company name followed by your question.
Hi, this is Matt Adams from Deutsche Bank. Thanks very much for the call. I just had two questions. One, on slide 10, you talk about the subscriber retention cost over time. I wondered if you could provide detail on the subscriber acquisition cost for 1Q. And also, you talk about the 3G SIM users. I wondered if you could give a little detail on not only the SIM users, but also the number of handset users that you have out of that base. Thanks.
Okay, our subscriber acquisition cost in the first quarter actually is up about 20%. Yeah, it's now about it's about $120. And also on the 3G USIM, there are less than 10% 3G USIM holders holding 3G handsets.
Great. Thanks very much.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Mr. Simon Jiang. Please state your company name followed by your question.
Thanks for the call. It's Simon calling from Merrill Lynch. I actually also have two questions. One, just regarding your Chunghwa Telecom share, do you have a timing as to when you're going to be divesting the remaining 150 million shares? Maybe in this year, or would that coming through in next year? The second question is also regarding your 3G. You mentioned that the 3G subscribers who actually have 3G handset would have data usage, probably talking about double of the 2G subscribers. I just want to get a sense for those subscribers who do not, 3G subscribers who do not have 3G handsets, how is the data usage differ from the 2G users? Thanks.
On the Chunghwa Telecom shares, we will continue disposing of the shares depending on the market condition, that is the price. On the 3G front, the data usage actually is higher and the 3G handsets users has a much higher penetration rate, And for the ones that do not have 3G handsets, the penetration rate is much lower.
Can you give me some sense as to how the ARPU are compared to the existing 2 or 2.5G users? Because given that your numbers that you're reporting is kind of only, you're only reporting the 3G SIM card numbers. Just want to get a sense.
Simon, let me answer your question. For 3G SIM card holders using the 2G phone, their spending behavior is the same as 2G's
okay.
spending.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Ms. Shelley C. Please state your company name followed by your question.
Hi, thanks very much for the call. It's Choisa from UBS. I have three questions. First, on the write-off scale, I noticed you are writing off another $170 million in the second quarter. I was wondering if there's any guidance on your full-year write-off. Secondly, on the tax rate, it seems to be trending at around 14% plus. That differs from your original guidance of around 13%. Is there any change? And finally, on the distribution channel, I was wondering if you can comment on Vivo's recent investment in Aurora, which impacts on your does it impact on your distribution strategy at all?
Okay, on the write-off of our 2G assets, we will most likely stick to our original forecast of writing off $2 billion for the year. So you will probably see more asset write-down in the third and fourth quarter.
But not more than that. Yeah, not more than $2 billion.
And on the tax rate, our average tax rate will still be around 13% for the year. And on the distribution, our channel strategy actually
Let me talk about this. We actually do not see any dramatic impact that will be caused by Vivo's acquisition of Aurora. Vivo, I think, has launched a service for probably 5 months or so now. But so far, I think they haven't made too much of a progress. And they blame it on the channel's sort of resistance to sell their product. But actually, I think what they don't understand is that this market is both push and pull. If there's no pull, and, you need to push really hard to make it happen. We see the examples from Far Eastern's acquisition of Alcoa, and Alcoa did not end up that selling nothing but Far Eastern's SIM cards, considering that Far Eastern is a much stronger brand than Vivo is, that we just don't see that how Aurora will end up selling most of the cards that is belongs to Vivo. So actually, I think that even they acquire a stake in Aurora, I think that Aurora will still continue to distribute other operators' SIM cards, including ours.
Great. Thanks very much.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Mr. Chris Fang. Please state your company name followed by your question.
Hi, Chris Fang from Fidelity. Thanks for the call. My question is, will the share buyback impact the cash dividend for 2006? Thank you.
No, I don't think that there will be any connection between the two.
So when you buy back shares, do you need to use up some kind of retained earnings, or does it not work that way?
Before
we are actually redistributing the shares to the employees.
Oh, I see. Okay, that's fine. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Ms. Lena Choi. Please state your company name followed by your question.
Thank you. It's Lena Choi from Morgan Stanley. I have only one question. Harvey, you mentioned that in the first quarter, Taiwan Mobile is able to reduce churn rate without spending too much on retention costs. Seems like the hike in marketing costs mainly come from acquisition then. Is it because are you seeing Chunghwa Telecom or any other competitor in the market pushing more aggressively, especially on the 3G front? And do you foresee this trend continuing for the remainder of the year? Thank you.
Lena, I'm not sure I totally understand your question, but let me try to talk about it, and if I didn't get your point, please ask again. I don't think this really has that much to do with Chunghwa's aggressively pushing 3G. Chunghwa, of course, they have sort of close to double their subsidies on the 3G handsets. So I think they are inducing more people to buy a 3G handset. We felt that it's not necessary to do that, and because we believe that given time, which is not going to take very long, that the 3G handset will automatically sort of become the mainstream of the demand, so what we need to do is to get people ready. So instead we are aggressively pushing 3G handsets. We are promoting 3G using instead. Meanwhile, you can see that actually people like Chunghwa right now, actually they refrain from pushing 3G using. So we are adopting a different strategy. And on the churn rate, I think that I don't see a close link between this and what Chunghwa is doing. I think basically that we have sort of cleaned up that our customer base, and I think that during the clean up exercise, I think we first, I think we get to know our customer better, and secondly, also, I think we're bringing higher quality customers. So I think a combination of with all these efforts now has resulted us to be able to manage the churn rate at a lower cost.
Can I follow up? So is it fair to say the 20% increase in subscriber acquisition cost, the key driver behind that is really that you're trying to get much higher ARPU users?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Elena Leung. Please state your company name followed by your question.
Hi, this is Elena Leung from CLSA. Given the substantial decline in terms of EBITDA margin, do you still expect that the net profits to remain stable as you guiding it earlier? And the second question is, are you planning for any capital reduction in order to boost your dividend payout?
Well, I really don't consider 1% decrease of EBITDA margin a substantial decrease. And actually, I think that's basically a reflection of the reality of the market, that we do see a heightened competition. But so far, we still felt that there's no need for us to change our guidance in terms of that we expect that we should be able to generate a comparable net income for the year 2006.
Capital
as to the capital reduction, Right now, that we haven't got a firm schedule. This is a fairly complex process and involves manufacturers that are not under our control. So we're still evaluating the pros and cons and try to figure out when will be the best time to do that.
Sorry, for the first question, the EBITDA margin decline actually is 3.6% year-on-year.
I think it's not a good comparison to look at the EBITDA margin trend on the year-on-year basis, in the sense that some of the expenses were not incurred in first or accrued in the first quarter last year. So we normally look at the sequential trend in terms of EBITDA margin.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Ms. Kathy Chen. Please state your company name followed by your question.
Hi, this is Kathy Chen from Goldman Sachs. I have three questions. The first one is just a follow-up on your plans to sell the remaining Chunghwa shares. You said that it will be based on market conditions, but I wanted to clarify if the QFII ownership limit will be an issue since Chunghwa is basically at the 40%. So if you want to sell the remaining 150 million shares, do you need that limit to be increased? The second question is, can you tell us what percentage of your postpaid subscribers are now on the MyZone plan? And it looks like the price per minute declined in the first quarter compared to the trends in 2005. Was the MyZone part of this, the reason for this decline? And the last question is on the share buybacks for employees. What is the potential for doing share buybacks to cancel instead of for employees? Because based on our understanding, the last batch that was brought back in September 05 has still not been transferred yet. So is there any potential for reclassifying these for cancellation instead?
Okay, on the Chunghwa Telecom shares. On the Chunghwa Telecom shares, we do not rule out any possibilities of disposing of the shares. So ADR may not be the only option.
Right now, yeah, of course, I think it will be good if they can raise the QFII limit. And if they cannot, we're still looking for opportunities to sell them that in the local market. So it all depends on whether we have identified buyers. And during the first quarter time frame, we are able to identify buyers so we'll be able to sell them in a larger quantity. If we cannot, I think then we will sort of hold it and wait for the right opportunity. On the MyZone, actually, I don't think that the MyZone rate plan has resulted in the decrease of the EBITDA margin. Actually, MyZone rate plan has actually helped to slightly push up our ARPM. So that is not the reason. The primary reason is really because all these new entrants into the market, and then our other competitors are nervous about that we have been able to grow that above market rate in the past several quarters and try to sort of grab more market by raising the commission in the channels and which resulted in a heightened marketing expense. And then on the share buyback, is actually chances are remote that you will end up that become a sort of a capital provision instead.
Sorry, I didn't hear the answer for the share buybacks.
Basically, that what I just said is that the share buyback, I think they meant for employees, and it will last for 3 years. And I think chances are not that good, or actually are remote, that it will become a capital reduction item.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. We have a follow-up question from Mr. Simon Jung. Please go ahead. Thank you.
Sorry, one follow-up question. If I look at your revenue trend since the second quarter of 2005 on a year-on-year basis, it's basically decelerate from 4% now to pretty much around 1%-ish. I just want to get a sense that going forward, if you were talking about the top-line growth going to be maintaining at in line with the GDP, then what kind of drive are you looking at? Are you talking about the usage per user going to be going up, or are you seeing the revenue per minute you're trying to launch some more special plan thereby driving the revenue per minute and therefore driving the revenue growth in coming several quarters? Thanks.
So the momentum might come from several different directions. As we did in the past, that we always try to encourage more usage from our customers, as well as we are acquiring new customers. And many of these new customers that we acquire, they are not that much of a force until, I think, a few months later. So I think it will be a combination of many factors. Right now, it's very difficult to quantify each one of them.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, please press the star followed by 1 on your touch-tone phone. Thank you. The next question comes from Ms. Helen Chu. Please state your company name followed by your question.
Hi, it's Helen Chu from Goldman Sachs. I just wanted to ask a follow-up question to what Lena asked earlier relating to the capital reduction. You mentioned that the capital reduction timing is not entirely within your control. I was just wondering whether you could elaborate on that. Does that mean that you actually plan to pair the capital reduction together with your asset impairment as guidance? Or if that's not the case, could you elaborate a bit on what you which factors are not within your control?
Well, we talk about this many, many times, actually, because basically what we're talking about here is a very complicated regulatory approval process. And also, I think that we're talking about the right time that we will sort of write down some more of our assets. But in order to do that, then we have to meet the impairment test. And this impairment test is really not something we can control. And we really don't know when that the revenue are shifting from 2G to 3G. There are a number of other issues that actually depending on the behavior of the customer. Plus the fact that we're dealing with the regulatory issues, that we're dealing with when will be a good time for the suspension of trading for short periods. All these are fairly complex issues.
But after all, we are very committed to a very stable cash return to our investors.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. The next question comes from Mr. Terry Chen. Please state your company name followed by your question.
Hi, this is Terry Chan from Credit Suisse. I have two questions. The first one is, can you remind us of your full-year CapEx budget this year? And can do you have any full-year guidance on EBITDA margin? Thanks.
Our full-year CapEx guidance is $6.5 billion. And on the EBITDA margin, it could be somewhere around 45%.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, please press the star followed by one on your touch-tone phone. Mr. Chang, there are no further questions at this time. Please continue with any further comments you wish to make.
Okay, I think that I just want to thank all of you that who stayed online and listening to this conference. And I think we had a reasonable quarter for the first quarter, and with all these trends look very positive, and so we look forward to have another good quarter, and we'll talk to you again 3 months from now. And thank you, and bye.
Thank you. Bye. Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes the Taiwan Mobile First Quarter 2006 Quarter Results. Thank you for participating. You may now disconnect.